إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، ألا وإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله عز وجل، وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدع، وكل بدعة دلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. وبعد، we begin as always by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acknowledging that He is the one that we worship. He is the one that we seek aid from. He is the one that we turn to in repentance. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil of our own actions. Whoever Allah guides, there is none to mislead him. And whoever is misled, none can guide him except Allah. And I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, who has no partners. And I testify that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. And after that, the most truthful of speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad. And the worst of all the matters are the newly invented matters, which are the religion. And every newly invented matter is an innovation, a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a misguidance. And all misguidance leads to the hellfire. We'd like to welcome again the brothers and sisters for a lesson in reading from the book Makanat al-Ilm wal-Ulama, the status of knowledge and the scholars, by the Sheikh, the Dr. Allama Muhammad ibn Umar ibn Salim al-Bazmul, hafidhahullah ta'ala. Sheikh Muhammad Bazmul is a teacher, a professor in the university, the famous prestigious University of Umm al-Qura. And this book is a fantastic book which reminds us about the importance of knowledge and its status, and the importance of the scholars and their status. The Sheikh goes through different points here in this book, starting with the importance of knowledge, and the importance of following the Kitab and the Sunnah, the importance of scholars. And then he goes into refuting some of the doubts that they bring, and carries on like that. So we're trying to read and trying to benefit from this excellent book. We've reached chapter 2. This is part 2. The chapter heading is أحميت العلم في الكتاب والسنة, the importance of knowledge of the book and the Sunnah. So there is no doubt that the importance which is given to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Since in reality, this is the da'wah to Salafiyya, this is the da'wah of the Sunnah, this is the da'wah of Islam, going back to the revelation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, the Qur'an, the speech of Allah, and the revelation in the hadith, the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we Muslims, we return back to this book. But we find, unfortunately, some Muslims, they don't go back to read what is in the Qur'an. They don't go back to read the Qur'an in a language that can be understood. So when the Imam gives the khutbah in the village, when the Imam gives the khutbah in the town, when the Imam gives the khutbah and he quotes ayat, we don't even know what he's saying, because we've hardly ever read the Qur'an. We don't read the Qur'an in a language you can understand. We wrap it up in nice cloth and put it up on a high shelf and we bring it down to read it. When someone dies, we wipe off the dust and then we read it. We pass it around to read it quickly as we can, to pass a blessing on to the dead, and we don't even understand the word that we're reading. So the importance of knowledge, the importance of going back to the Quran, can never be underestimated. Likewise, the hadith, the statements of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, we are saying that we accept the message which the Prophet ﷺ brought. But if we don't go back and look at those hadith, and research those hadith, and understand those hadith, then we're not really following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the importance of knowledge, which is in the Book of Allah, and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the chapter. The Shaykh, hafidhullah, he begins, he says, it is not hidden from every Muslim the importance of knowledge. Even so, every person who claims to have knowledge calls to it to himself. Even for a person, the importance of knowledge, even for a person who claims knowledge for himself, even an ignorant person, he's not pleased with being called a jahil. يعني حتى الجاهل لا يرضى أن يقال عنه جاهل. Even an ignorant person, he's not pleased when somebody calls him a jahil, ignorant person. So everybody sees the importance of knowledge. And he actually gets happy when people claim that he is a scholar. So even an ignorant person can be like that. So it shows us the importance of knowledge. That is so important that even an ignorant person claims it for himself. So how many times do we find a Muslim who does not know Arabic, has not studied the religion, he hasn't understood the deed, and he may be a physics teacher. He may be an interior designer. And he makes fatwa and claims and gives his own verdict and his own opinion about the religion of Islam. This is not correct. Just because a person reads a couple of books on the Islam, he thinks that he can go around giving fatwa, this is not correct. Or he has understood it correctly because he's seen the zahir, the apparent meaning of the ayah, thinks that, yes, I've deduced that I can, this is the verdict from Islam. This is not correct. Islam is a knowledge-based religion. And every science has its specialists. Every science has its specialists. So, for example, in physics, you will go to somebody who's specialized in physics. Likewise, in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't go to a jahil to ask him about the religion of Allah. Yes, we ask people who we think they might know, they may have knowledge, they have knowledge of the kitab and the sunnah, then we ask them with evidences and proofs and these things. But it's not sufficient for a person to say, I've read a couple of books, and then start giving verdicts and fatwa. Regarding the Shaykh brings a statement from Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. He said, it is sufficient that knowledge has an honor. It is sufficient that knowledge has an honor, such that the one who is not good at it makes a claim that he has knowledge. It is sufficient that knowledge has an honor, has a great status, such that the one who is not good at it, he makes a claim that he has knowledge. And he becomes happy and delighted when he's ascribed to knowledge. And it is sufficient for ignorance to be, or jahl to be, disliked or dispraised, that one frees himself from it. So you don't find a person except that he wants to be known as he has knowledge, and except that he runs away, hides away from ignorance, from being called ignorant. So this shows us the status of knowledge in itself. Then the Shaykh continues, how can the excellence of knowledge and scholars be hidden from a Muslim when he reads the ayah in the Quran, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوَى الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Say, are those who know equal to those who don't? Only those of understanding will remember. In Surah Zumar, Ayah 9. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ has been told to say to the people, هَلْ يَسْتَوَى الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Okay, are those who know equal to those who don't? And it's just like we know the difference between the people of the, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, by the people in the paradise and people in the hellfire. People in hellfire, there's the difference between them. Okay, so likewise, somebody who knows and somebody who doesn't know, there's a huge difference. Then the Shaykh goes on, and this person knows about the excellence of knowledge and the scholars. The ayah of the Quran, شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو وهو العزيز الحكيم. So this ayah, and here talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Imran, ayah 18. Allah testifies, Allah witnesses, Allah bears witnesses that He's the only one deserving of worship. Him and His angels and those who possess knowledge maintain His creation in justice, thereupon justice. La ilaha illahu, there is none worthy of worship except Him, Al Aziz Al Hakim. So this verse, here the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala garnered, yani He brought together the testification of the people of knowledge and the angels with His testification, subhanahu wa ta'ala, witnessing the justice for all of creation. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is connecting up His testification with the angels and the people of knowledge. So it gives us the status of the people of knowledge. Allah is angels and those who possess knowledge. So it gives us a very, very good understanding of the status of the people of knowledge. The status of the people of knowledge. Now this ayah in Surah Al-Imran, ayah 18, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ لَهُ 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 وَالْمَ لَائِكَةُ وَأُولُوا الْعِلْمِ قَائِمٌ بِالْقِسْطِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. This ayah, Shaykh Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions about this, and he brings this, Ibn Qayyim brings this, in a long chapter in his excellent, fantastic book called Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah. Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah, and he mentions in it, he says, about using this ayah, he says, knowledge and its excellence, and its honor and explanation of the general need of knowledge, knowledge and its excellence, its honor and the explanation of the general need of knowledge, and that the perfection of a slave of Allah and his success in the dunya and hereafter is dependent upon knowledge. You'll find the scholars of old, in the past, they'll bring very long titles for their books, for their chapter headings, because they want to get a certain point across. A very important point. So he said here, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions knowledge and its excellence and its honor and the explanation of the general need of knowledge and the perfection of a slave of Allah and his success in the dunya and the hereafter is dependent upon knowledge. And this is no doubt. There is no doubt that our success for the dunya and in the hereafter is dependent upon the knowledge. Because if we don't know how to worship Allah correctly, we will not be doing it correctly and we will not be getting that reward. For example, a person is ignorant of the deed, he doesn't know about the evils of the deed, and he's, for example, committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he thinks he's doing something which is good. He thinks what he's doing is bringing him closer to Allah. But because of his ignorance of this, And the importance of learning the religion, he's falling into shirk. Now there are scholars that say there is an excuse of ignorance, and there are other scholars that say there's no excuse of ignorance. But anyway, the point is that it is wajib upon a Muslim to learn his religion. It is obligatory on a Muslim to learn about the evils so he can keep away from them. To learn about the evils so he can keep away from them. So a person does bid'ah, he does shirk, and he thinks he's doing good. But rather, he's doing something which is wrong. He's doing something which is wrong. And if that person is sincere, Allah will guide him to the correct way. Allah will guide him to the correct way. Then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah continues, he said, أَسْتَشْهَدَ سُبْحَانَهُ بِأُولَى الْعَلِمِ. Okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala witnessed or testified with the people of knowledge on the most the magnificent or the most glorious of that which can be witnessed for, which is his Tawheed. Okay, which is his Tawheed. Now, the Shaykh goes on to explain this ayah later on. Yeah, his Tawheed meaning, La ilaha illallah, shahida Allahu annahu la ilaha illahu. Allah testified that there is none worthy of worship except him. And likewise did the angels, and likewise did the people of knowledge. So this is the most ajalli, yani most magnificent, most beautiful, most brilliant thing that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testified for. Angels testified for that as well, and the people of knowledge, which is the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without any partners, only turning to Allah, relying upon Allah, turning in need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only sacrificing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the importance of the status of the knowledge and the people of knowledge, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has testified to this. We find some of the people bringing doubts. They bring doubts because they want to keep people away from knowledge. This has always been the way of the shaitan and the evil people. So they bring a doubt and they say to you, why are you studying the religion over the internet and studying from people who are in the West? For example, Muslims who are in America, Muslims who are in the UK. Why are you studying from these type of people? Rather, you should listen to the people in your area, in our localities. They've also studied. We answer this doubt by saying that these people that we are teaching the religion, and we're talking here about the Salafiyun, the people who follow the way of the Salaf, who follow the companions and the Tabi'in, Atba'a Tabi'in, and the great scholars from the early generations up till today, who follow the scholars in following the religion and understanding the religion. So the Salafiyun, these brothers who are teaching, who are well known to be on the correct path, all they're doing is conveying the knowledge of the scholars. They're reading from books of the scholars. They're telling you what the scholars have said. They're teaching the people what the scholars have said. Now, if these organizations and these people claim to be, we've studied from Medina University, or we've got people who've studied there. Well, if you were doing your job properly, the people in your localities wouldn't have to go elsewhere, because these organizations and these individuals have agendas. They have agendas to fill their pockets with money. They have agendas to push their own da'wah, finding unity with Ahlul Bidah, finding unity with politics, finding unity with the terrorists. And the Salafiyun come along and refute all this. So the people, they say, don't listen to them. They're from the West. They're spies of the West. And the Shaykh, Muhammad Basmul, Allah, he actually talks about later on, he brings these doubts and replies to these doubts, which we'll cover in the future lessons. So we say, don't listen to them. Anybody who tries to keep you away from knowledge, then we say, no, sorry, this is not what we follow. We follow the knowledge. And it could be anybody. It could be brothers from the West, it could be brothers from the East, it could be brothers from the North Pole or the South Pole. If the people are conveying what the scholars are saying, the Salafi scholars, the scholars that act upon their knowledge, then we follow them. Then we follow them. And this is a doubt that some of the people bring. So we tell the people, hold on to the knowledge. Here we find that Sheikh Muhammad Basmul, Hafidhullah, he brings another evidence for the importance of knowledge in the book and the Sunnah. And the Sheikh said, how can a Muslim not know the excellence of knowledge when he hears the hadith, the great hadith from Qais ibn Kathir, who said, a man came from Medina to Abu Darda, while he was in the Mishk. And he said to him, Abu Darda said to him, what caused you to come to me? He said that a hadith has reached me that you narrate from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this man comes from Medina to Dimashq, because Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he had was living in Dimashq at that time, like many of the companions did. Many of the companions, they would live outside Makkah and Medina because they were out there giving da'wah to the people. So the man came to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and Abu Darda said to him, what caused you to come to me? The man said, I have a hadith which I've heard that you narrate from the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here we see, and this person is making a rihla fi talab al-ilm. He is making a journey for seeking knowledge. So he said to him, Abu Darda said to him, have you come to me for a need? He said, La, no. And he goes, have you come here for some business? He said, no. He goes, I did not come here except for this hadith. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, I indeed heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever follows a path desiring by it knowledge, man salaka tariqan yabdaghi fihi ilm, whoever follows a path desiring by it knowledge, then Allah takes him on the path to paradise. So this is a beautiful path, this is the way that will lead us to paradise. A path that will lead us to paradise is the path of knowledge, seeking knowledge so we can act upon that knowledge and enter into paradise. So whoever follows a path desiring by it knowledge, then Allah takes him on the path to paradise. Indeed, the angels lower their wings, being pleased with the student of knowledge. Indeed, the angels lower their wings, being pleased with the student of knowledge. Everything in the heavens and everything in the earth seeks forgiveness for the scholar. Even the fish in the sea, the excellence of the scholar over the worshipper is like the excellence of the moon over the rest of the stars. Indeed, the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. Indeed, the prophets do not inherit dinar or dirham. Rather, they inherit knowledge. Whoever takes this knowledge receives an abundance of good fortune. This is a hadith narrated, collected by Abu Dawood in his Sunan and in Tirmidhi, and it is an authentic hadith. And this hadith is beautiful. Like all the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are beautiful, and this statement is a bushra, is good news for the Muslim. Good news for the Muslim. And this hadith, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah brings a beautiful explanation of this. Beautiful explanation which our Shaykh Muhammad bin Mazmoun brings later on. And let's just quickly look at this hadith again, looking at it piece by piece, because of the great blessing in this hadith, and that hadith are revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a reward for reading the hadith. We act upon it. So the Messenger, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, whoever follows the path desired by knowledge, then Allah takes him on the path to paradise. So seeking knowledge, which is reading the Quran, memorizing the Quran, trying to understand the Quran, reading the tafsir of the Quran, asking the people who know about the ayat of the Quran, is seeking knowledge. Reading the hadith, reading Sahih al-Bukhari, reading Sahih Muslim, reading these books, reading the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is seeking knowledge. Not that we go around giving fatwa, not that we go around deriving verdicts from it, unless we've reached a level that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this, but again, we are always confirming what we've understood from the scholars and learning from the scholars. So whoever follows a path desiring by knowledge. Indeed, the angels lower their wings being pleased with the student of knowledge. Now, a student of knowledge is a relative term. A person can be somebody who's studying in college, who's studying in school, or he's working in a company, but at the same time, whenever he has the opportunity, he tries to learn the knowledge which will help him raise off the ignorance of himself. Because this is one of the intentions that we have when we're learning knowledge. The intention is sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's pleasure, and raising off the jahl, the ignorance from ourselves. So we want to learn, so we can be further away from ignorance, and know how to worship Allah. So student of knowledge can be anybody. It can be anybody, but we humble ourselves and we give respect to those who have more knowledge than us. And we find the great scholars even saying about themselves, saying that they are nothing but students of knowledge. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah used to mention this so many times. And people used to praise him and put him up. He used to say, I am nothing but a student of knowledge. A student of knowledge. So the angels lower their wings, being pleased with the student of knowledge. Everything in the heavens and everything in the earth seeks forgiveness for the scholar. Everything, meaning all the people of the earth, and the animals of the earth, and all the angels in the heavens. Some scholars actually mentioned that it's the angels of the earth as well who seek forgiveness for the scholar. And even the fish in the sea, subhanAllah, even the fish in the sea seek forgiveness, make dua to Allah for forgiveness for the scholar. So look at the status that a scholar has. There is so many things making dua for him. The excellence of the scholar over the worshipper is like the excellence of the moon over the rest of the stars. The excellence of the scholar over the worshipper. The scholar is somebody who knows how to worship Allah. The worshipper just carries on worshipping. But the scholar here also worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a scholar can't be a scholar unless he acts upon his knowledge. And we'll see later on the conditions, what makes a scholar in the future lessons. What are the conditions for a person to be a scholar? But a scholar is somebody who acts upon his knowledge as well. So the excellence of the scholar of the worshipper is like the excellence of the moon over the rest of the stars. Indeed, the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. This is what they receive, the scholars, what they receive from the prophets. They receive an inheritance. And they receive the best of inheritance. They receive knowledge. They didn't receive wealth. Rather, they inherited knowledge. And whoever takes this receives abundance of good fortune. It's a beautiful hadith. Beautiful hadith. Okay? And the explanation of this is found in Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah. And by the way, this book, Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah wrote this book, has a aspect of rububiyyah. You know, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create an elephant with a long nose, long trunk, right? Why did Allah create fish in the bottom of the sea? Certain physical parts of a human being, why did Allah create the eye and the wisdom behind them and these type of things? And then he goes into knowledge and talking about knowledge. And that section of knowledge goes on and on and on. It brings well over a couple of hundred benefits about knowledge. Using this ayah that we mentioned before, Shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illahu, using this ayah, it brings well over 200, even more than that, benefits from this one ayah connected to knowledge. So it shows us the great understanding that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah had. And it's a beautiful book. It's a beautiful book. It's called Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah. It's one of those books when you start reading, you don't want to put it down. Then the Shaykh brings another evidence. He says, what came from Abu Umama al-Bahili, he said, two people were mentioned in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two people. One of them, an abid, worshipper, and the other one, a scholar. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَضْلُ الْعَالِمْ عَلَى الْعَابِدْ فَفَضْلِي عَلَى أَدْنَاكُمْ. Okay, the excellence of a scholar over a worshipper is like the excellence of me over the least of you. This is a hadith in the Sahih al-Jami, Shaykh al-Bani made it authentic. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ وَأَحْلُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَتَّى النَّمْلَ فِي جُحْرِهَا وَحَتَّى الْحُوتِ لَيُصَلُّونَ عَلَى مُعَلِّمَ النَّاسَ الْخَيْرِ. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, did Allah and His angels and the people of the heavens and the earth, even the ants in its hole, even the ant in its hole, and even the fish in the whale sends praise upon the Mu'allim al-Nas al-Khair, the people or the person who teaches the people goodness. So Allah, His angels, people of the heavens, the earth, even the ant, the fish in the sea, they send praise upon the one who teaches the people goodness. And this is a hadith again in Sahih al-Jami' authenticated by Sheikh al-Albani, Rahimahullah. Then the Sheikh goes on to talk about another evidence, and he said, which is mentioned from Anas ibn Malik, رضي عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim. And then the Shaykh goes on to talk about how can anybody doubt the importance of the Sharia knowledge, the Sharia knowledge, al-ilm or shar'i, and what a Muslim needs. Because he will not be able to establish two principles without knowledge. He cannot establish two principles without knowledge. One of them is that he has to worship Allah alone. He has to worship Allah alone. And the other is that he can only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated. So the importance of knowledge is that he can, for tawheed, establishing Allah's tawheed, okay, with the purpose for which we were created, and that we can only worship Allah as He wants to be worshipped. We can only worship Allah as He wants to be worshipped, not how we desire, or how we think, or how we presume He needs to be worshipped, or wants to be worshipped. No, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be worshipped. And then the Shaykh goes on to, and this is the reality of the Kalimat al-Tawheed. Kalimat al-Tawheed, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So the implementation of the Kalimat al-Tawheed has to have Sharia knowledge. Sharia knowledge, which is needed to implement that. And then the Shaykh goes on to talk about how this is the importance of having knowledge before statements and action, or having statements of action. And like then he goes on to mention, like he mentioned in chapter 1, how this is the meaning of the chapter heading which Imam Bukhari rahimahullah brought in his Sahih, where he said, Kitab al-Ilm, the book of knowledge. And we find this again in nearly all the books of Sunan, or the collections of hadith, you'll find a book called Kitab al-Ilm, and a whole section called Kitab al-Ilm, and the book of knowledge. It shows us the importance of knowledge again. He said, Imam Bukhari said, Babun al-Ilmu qabla al-Qawl wal-Amal. It's a chapter on knowledge before statements and action. لِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and this is for the, due to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So, فَبَدَعْ بِالْعِلْمِ. So he began with knowledge. And then the Shaykh goes on to talk about that the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets, and they inherited prophet the knowledge, and whoever takes that knowledge, then he has taken a great fortune, and whoever follows, the Shaykh says, and he's quoting from the hadith, he's using the hadith, but just quoting, then he said, وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا, whoever follows a path, يَطْلُبُ بِهِ الْعِلْمِ, seeking knowledge in it, سَحَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا, لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى جَنَّةٍ, then Allah makes that path of paradise easy for him. Makes the path of paradise easy for him. Then the Shaykh brings an evidence from the Quran about the scholars. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ إِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. It is only those who have knowledge among his slaves that fear Allah, who truly fear Allah, and those who have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because how can you fear something that you don't know about? You don't know about. And then he brings another ayah in the Quran where he talks about وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. And it only the people of knowledge or those who understand can understand it. Can understand the religion. All those who have knowledge can understand the religion. And the Shaykh goes on to bring other ayat, some of the ayat that he mentioned before, and he brings a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Man yuridi Allahi bi khairin yufaqihu fit din." And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for, gives him understanding of the deed. And he goes on to mention some other proofs regarding that. Which brings us towards the end of the second part of this book, second section of this book. Inshallah, we'll continue with the next part, with being the status of the scholars, the importance of going back to them and the proofs from the Kitab and the Sunnah for that. Jazakum Allahu khayran for listening. May Allah reward the brothers for organizing this lecture. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Anta astaghfiruka wa atubu alayk.